was like the first moment I looked at you with my own eyes.
Oh yeah?
What do you see?
The boy I love.
He smiled.
The boy I'd do anything for.
They brought their swings to a stop and faced one another, like perfectly matching bookends. Cole's eyes became soft.
It took every bit of my strength to keep from grabbing you in my arms every time I saw you. For over a year, I was forced to go along with it, and I didn't even know why. But if I did what I wanted, if I touched you, if I grabbed your hand, or...
He shook his head.
Even though I'd known it was Dylan I was touching, everyone would think I was betraying her. Betraying you. I couldn't stand being so close to you all the time, and having to pretend you weren't the girl I love.
She climbed out of the swing, walked to him, and placed her hands on his face.
I saw you. And knew you'd be back, he whispered.
Her fingers slid through his hair as she pulled him to his feet and his head toward her. Their foreheads touched. She quickly put her lips where her forehead had been. He didn't protest, so she moved her lips to his right temple as she settled her hands on the sides of his neck. When he didn't push her away, she allowed her lips to slowly travel to his.
Oh. What about our date?
She leaned in and erased the gap between them. For the first time in over a year, Dylan and Cole were back together. But as Poe and Cole, they were perfect. Chapter 30, September 9th, 2017, 8:30 a.m. Poe walked to the closet and flipped the switch. The light immediately came on, illuminating the two sides of the closet. One side was filled with creams, whites, pastels, and the brightest tones of the color wheel, fabrics of every sheen and texture. Then, she inspected the opposite side, mostly dark colors, blues, grays, browns, and denim. Lots and lots of denim. She'd spent a year entering the closet and walking to the rainbow-inspired side. Today, she made the conscious effort to walk to the side, diametrically opposed in every way. Poe ran her fingers over the rough denims and cotton blends, and then selected a black pantsuit. The choice was still a little dressy for her taste, but the day called for it. Once dressed, Poe stood in front of the mirror and stared at herself. Her clear eyes closely inspected every inch of her freshly washed face.
"We see what we want to see," she whispered. "What we need to."
She stared a bit longer. What looked back at her left her unsettled. She didn't feel like herself. Her line of vision moved from her reflection, back to the closet behind her, and directly to the rainbow of light. 10 a.m. Poe sat beside her parents and Nana on the first row of the First Presbyterian Church. It was filled to the brim with the people of Cornwall. Every pew in the sanctuary was filled, and she was told an overflow audience watched on video from chairs set up in the church gym. She raised her head and briefly looked at the large photograph of Peyton that sat beside a small urn on the large stage covered in pink and white flowers. Val did an amazing job on the flower arrangements. Poe was convinced they were some of her best work. Poe lowered her eyes back to the handwritten speech in her right hand as she ran the charm across her necklace with her left. With every second that passed, she was grateful to know that Cole and his parents were sitting right behind her. They could usher her out if she started to get sick or overcome.
Dylan.
She looked up, realized that Pastor Greg and just about everyone else was looking at her, waiting, expecting. She stood, smoothed the wrinkles from her pants, and adjusted the pink scarf around her neck. It was a last-minute addition. As soon as she'd slipped it on, She felt complete. She walked to the podium, looked out across the audience, and made a point to take in as many faces as possible. Dozens and dozens of funerals throughout her life, and she'd only really seen the backs of people's heads. She'd never experienced seeing their faces as they came to offer their goodbyes to someone they loved or cared about. The scene was almost too much to process. She gulped, looked down at her notes, and then looked back up, surprised to make eye contact with Joshua. He sat toward the back with his mama. She could see his bruises even with the distance. A part of her felt pity for him. The other couldn't help but still despise him. Poe quietly studied the audience again, took all the time she needed. Nobody could go anywhere. They were a captive audience. She wanted to take it all in. Remember the moment, so she could think back on it when their lives got back to normal. The usual gossip started flowing, and the people weren't so loving. She lowered her eyes to her notes, took a deep breath, looked up at Cole, and smiled. She's not who we thought she was. Peyton Brave. She turned her focus on the notes in her hand. Not that she wasn't beautiful, and friendly, or smart, and optimistic. Because she was all of those things. But she was more than a socialite with great clothes, and a big group of friends. Because Peyton, the real Peyton, was, well, real. Authentic. She didn't struggle to be friendly to people, because she genuinely liked everyone. She didn't have to suck up to her teachers to get help because they couldn't help but like her on their own. She didn't argue to make a point because she didn't care if she was right. She needed those around her to feel special and be happy. She wanted to be a light in this very dark world. And even though someone tried to extinguish that light, they didn't accomplish their goal. While he may have killed her body, he didn't kill her spirit. Or the memory that we all have of her. I tried to be her, and wore myself out doing it. But all I came to realize is that God makes us who we are for a reason. He made Peyton because we needed a Peyton. He made me Dylan because you all needed a Dylan. And I believe that he created Poe because I still need to live in a world where a part of me and a part of Peyton can still exist together. So I'm going to stay Poe for a while. I need a little more Peyton and Dylan in my life. And I hope you do too. But today we say goodbye. Peyton's laid to rest. And now she can live in your memories and hearts. It's time to let her go. To let her soar with the angels. So let's let her do just that. Soar, Peyton Bell Brave. Soar.
You've been listening to the audio production of Losing Brave, text copyright 2017 by Bailey Madison and Stephanie Miller. Production copyright 2017 by Zondervan. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of the publisher. For more information on other books and audio products from Blink, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at blinkyabooks.com. Losing Brave was produced at Out Loud Audio in Burbank, California.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.